tapestry life dimensions, the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss a topic that is very near and dear to our hearts and that has something to do with taking a glimpse into the lives of the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Yes, subhanallah, we are going to take a look at the lives of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who are the beacon of guidance, subhanallah. They are the stars of guidance, as it is mentioned in the hadith of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he states that my sahaba, they are like the guiding stars. Ashabi ka nujum. If you follow any one of them, you will be guided. SubhanAllah. And to discuss this beautiful subject matter, we have in the studio our great Muballigh of Dawat Islami, esteemed guest, Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Sayyidi?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. How are you keeping, Munasab?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Yes.
Alhamdulillah, it's a very beautiful topic, and although this 1 hour of the episode, it wouldn't do justice, mm-hmm. but inshallah, we'll try
inshallah.
To impart the beautiful teachings of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and take a look at their lifestyles. Together with that, we are also going to mention what should be our relationship like with the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the rights they have upon us.
Mm-hmm.
Allah Azza wa Jal has stated in Surah Al-Hadid, the translation from Kanzul Iman, those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst you who spend and fought before the conquest of Makkah are not equal to others. They are greater in rank than those who spent and fought after the conquest of Makkah. And Allah has promised paradise to all of them, and Allah is aware of your deeds. SubhanAllah. So from here, we got to know that there are two types of Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that have been mentioned in this verse, and the promise of Husna, which means paradise, has been made for all of them.
Hmm.
Under the part of the verse where Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَكُلَّمْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, and Allah has promised paradise to all of them. Sheikh Ahmad As-Sawi Al-Maliki rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that this means that all the noble Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, who brought faith before the conquest of Makkah and spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who brought faith after the conquest of Makkah and spent in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal has made the promise of Husna, meaning paradise, for all of them. SubhanAllah. Therefore, we say, Har Sahabiye Nabi, Jannati, Jannati. Har Sahabiye Nabi, Jannati, Jannati. SubhanAllah. Allama Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that who is a Sahabi? And he defines as to who is a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that we should remember for our own reference. He says, a Sahabi, مَنْ لَقِيَ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مُؤْمِنًا بِهِ ثُمَّ مَاتَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. A Sahabi is that fortunate individual who met the beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman and passed away upon Iman as well.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
So yes, just by attaining the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman, Allahu Akbar, that made them Sahaba.
SubhanAllah.
So look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam groomed his sahaba in a manner. You know how, like how you have students.
Yeah.
And you see each student is different. And an expert teacher, what he does, like if the student is inclined towards certain subjects, it will push him in that direction because he already has the natural inclination towards that aspect, subhanAllah.
Right.
And let's say, for example, you have students, and some of them show more interest towards fiqh.
Mm-hmm.
So as an expert teacher, you will guide him in the direction where he becomes a faqih one day, inshallah.
Right.
And for example, if there is a student who he was more keen in poetry and in this sort of way, subhanAllah, you can groom him to become someone who sings the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day. Inshallah, with the same token, if we say we see a student that is inclined towards the understanding of the Holy Quran, mm-hmm. the meanings of the Holy Quran, and he's always checking the translation of Kanzul Iman, Khazan al-Irfan, the tafsir of the Holy Quran, and then you will know, okay, this student, he seems like he is interested in the tafsir of the Holy Quran. So you'll groom him according to that way his natural right. inclination is. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found out the best strength in every sahaba. Subhanallah, he saw Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that he was so truthful and he made him Siddiq.
Subhanallah.
He saw Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was, subhanallah, more inclined towards spirituality, he made him Babul Wilayah, Allahu Akbar. He saw Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was just and fierce and a defining factor between truth and falsehood, he made him Farooq,
subhanallah.
The one who was the defining factor between the truth and falsehood. And then we see the example of Sayyidina Usman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who is known as Kamilil Hayai wal Iman. So looking at his modesty, subhanallah, he mentioned that the most modest person of the ummah is Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he became Kamilil Hayai wal Iman. Allahu Akbar. So likewise, every other sahaba, subhanallah, he saw Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. He was inclined more towards the Holy Quran, and he made dua for him that, oh Allah, grant him the knowledge of Quran, subhanallah. And he became the Hibrul Ummah, the giant scholar of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he became Ra'isul Mufassirin, the one who is the head Mufassir, subhanallah, in comparison to the rest of the Ummah. Likewise, we see in the lives of different Sahaba, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was more inclined towards his expertise in warfare, and therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named him Saifun min Suyufillah,
subhanallah.
He is the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, there are countless examples in the life of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the teacher is perfect and he is the most perfect human being ever,
Allah,
subhanallah,
Allah,
the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the matchless messenger, the guide to all of mankind, subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed him to guide the entire human race. And look at how he guided his Sahaba, how he groomed his Sahaba, that there was no match for his Sahaba.
Allahu Akbar.
Be it any field, and when it comes to generosity, there is no match to Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When it comes to bravery, there is no match to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When it comes to upholding the truth, there is no match to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahu. When it comes to modesty, we don't find a match to Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. So these were the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidi, and each they all had their own strengths and their own uniqueness, and that's what makes them so unique.
100% Mu'azzab, and this was the status and the maqam of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to keep this in mind that no matter how high the status of a wali may be, whether he is an Abdal or a Qutb or a Ghawth, but still he cannot reach the status of a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this goes to show that, you know, we always have to, and compulsory upon us, that we always respect the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We honor the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not malign them in any way. We do not speak ill of them in any way, because this will only be detrimental to one's iman. You know, there have been cases in the past, there have been incidents in the past where a person maligned Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, maligned Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, maligned Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the end result was detrimental, the end result was bad, the end result was not good, just because of speaking ill and bad against the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in reality, if you have to look at it, these are no ordinary people that we are talking about. These are the khas and special companions and loyal friends of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who defended him, who protected him, who gave the wealth, their lives, their everything for the sake of Islam and for the sake of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, when we look at the lives of the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see so many different and a variety of beautiful traits and characteristics that each and every single one of them had. And of course, the companions alayhim ridwan, they have rights over us as well. And one of those rights that they have upon us is the right of being honored. You know, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, honor my companions, for they are the best of you, they are the best amongst you. So we should honor the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the beauty of this munasab is that there are so many companions. We believe in them, and that we do not malign them, we do not speak ill of them. And the beauty part is that whichever companion a person takes, that is his guide. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, that my companions are like the stars. Whichever one of them you take, you shall be guided. You take Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is your guide. Sayyidina Umar, he is your guide. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is your guide. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is your guide. So our duty is to love the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to respect them, and also to learn from their life. Because however they lived their life, of course it was under the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone wants to know how to love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, the Quranic ayats are there. Follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you, take it. Whatever he does not, whatever he prohibits you from, leave that out. All of this, the Quranic ayahs, the Quran informs us about, educates us about it. Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also there, that none of you can be a true believer until I am more beloved to him than his father, his children, and rest of mankind. And so many ahadith are there that shows us the importance of loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when we ask ourselves the question, in which way do we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How do we show our love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? For that, we go into the lives of the companions alayhim ridwan. When we go into their life and we catch a glimpse of their life, then we see Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came in the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gave all of his wealth for Islam and for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, all of the Khulafai Rashidun, the Ashara Mubashara, all of them displayed their love in different ways. One companion will make wudu. After wudu, he would smile. When he was asked why he smiled, he said, simply because I saw my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing this, so I am also doing this. So we see that they portrayed their love to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in different ways. We learn to love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by following the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they are our guide in order for us to reach Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes, if we want to inculcate that true love for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that can be learned from the lives of Sahaba.
Yes.
For example, what happened in the expedition of Uhud? Many of them had left their posts. As a result of that, nobody was really prepared for the attack.
Mm-hmm.
And in that chaos, Shaitan spread the rumor. Everybody was dispersed because all of a sudden there's an attack, which wasn't expected.
Right.
And then Shaitan spread the rumor that Ma'adallah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been martyred. And all the Sahaba, they were in mayhem.
Right.
That they lost Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still alive,
mm-hmm.
he was just cornered by the army, and there were arrows being thrown at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being shot at him. And those Sahaba that were around him, among them was Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidillah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu from the Ashar al-Mubashara. And he was there. He had suffered many wounds, and his whole body was drenched in blood. And despite all of that, he still defended Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his own body. And many other Sahaba that were also there that acted as a shield to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
A body shield.
Yes. They presented their bodies as a shield.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. And then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to a higher place and he wanted to give his hand to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to climb up. And then Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went and he presented his back so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could climb and go to safety.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. And then this is a lengthy event. But look at here, the spectacle that we are shown, that the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't merely a lip service, but they proved it with their own life, their own lives on the line to defend the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam and protect him. And this is, if one wants to gain the expression of love for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then learn from the Sahaba. Because their love wasn't restricted to just tongue or just words. It was way more than that. They were ever ready to forsake their own homeland for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their own lives they gave for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They migrated, left their hometown and migrated to a totally different city, Medina Munawwara, for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They even left the city of Makkah to go to another country altogether.
Yeah.
In Africa, Abyssinia. The different continent altogether. For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. So their life stands as an example as to how we should love the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to what extent.
Also, Munasa, you know, one part is that they taught us how to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they also taught us another very beautiful aspect, and that is, you know, how to love each other. You know, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his companions migrated from Makkah al-Mukarrama to Madinah al-Munawwara, and these companions are known as the Muhajirun, and those that resided in Madinah al-Munawwara, they are known as the Ansar. And what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did was he made them into pairs and made them brothers unto each other. He joined each Muhajir with one Ansar Sahabi. And the Ansar Sahabi, they love and their empathy for the Muhajirun was such that they said, "This is my property, this is my wealth, half of it I am giving to you." They gave half of their wealth, half of their property to the companions who migrated from Makkah al-Mukarrama, who left their homes, left their families, left their wealth, everything in Makkah. And they came to Madinah al-Munawwara, and the Ansar companions, they gave half of their wealth to these companions who are the Muhajirun. And in this way, they became brothers to one another. Yet, you know, they were not related by blood, but still they had this brotherhood amongst them. They had this love and unity amongst them, and all for one intention, that when they loved, then their love was for the sake and for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here we see that the companions alayhim ridwan, they are even teaching us how to be with one another, how to love one another, because they put the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into practicality, and they really, you know, felt what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the Muslim Ummah is like one body. When one part gets a fever, then the entire body feels that. So like that, the companions alayhim ridwan, when they knew that their next brother is suffering or their next brother is going through something, they felt that, and they were there for their fellow Muslim brother. They were there for each other. Like we see on the battlefield, when a companion was looking for his cousin, and eventually he found him. He wanted to give him some water. So he went to him to give him the water, and at a distance, he saw that another companion is laying there. He said to him that, you know what, don't give me this water. Go give it to him, because he is more in need of it. So this companion, he goes to the second person. He says, brother, here's the water, please drink some. As he's about to drink it, he sees and hears another person sighing from a distance as well for thirst. And he says that, you know what, I am not so much in need of it, but he is more in need of it. Go and give it to him rather. By the time this companion went to the third person, he had already passed away. Then he comes back to the second person. He sees he has already passed away. He comes back to the first person, and he sees he also passed away. And when we look at the scenario and the situation, we see their selflessness for each other, that they were ready to sacrifice even their pleasures, even if it meant, you know, costing their lives. They were still ready to sacrifice that for their next fellow Muslim brother. So this is also what we learn from the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a brotherhood, that, you know, when we love someone, when we are brothers to someone, and especially fellow Muslims, then our love for each other or unity for each other shouldn't be for any hidden agenda or for any personal gain, for any personal benefit, that, you know what, I like this guy over here because he is very wealthy and I want to be friends with him. He is my companion now, so I can live off him, I can eat off him, I can drink off him, and I can make full use of him. No, this their attitude was completely different. Instead, they had the opposite. They would rather give more than even taking. As you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hand above is better than the hand below. Meaning that the hand which gives is better than the hand which takes. And this is exactly what the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implemented. You know, if you have to look at the Ashab al-Suffa, they were the poor companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't have much. They actually stayed under the shelter, and they were very poor. But we see they had this unity amongst them, that when Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past him and smiled. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that he was hungry, and so he told him to come follow me to my home. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu follows Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his home. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a bowl of milk, and he tells him that, oh Abu Huraira, here is this bowl of milk. Call all of the Ashab al-Suffa to come and drink from this bowl of milk. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his mind, he is hungry already. He is thirsty, you know, he wants to fill his stomach, he wants to eat something. And when he hears this, he thinks to himself that, all the companions are going to come, how will everyone suffice their hunger? But yet he put himself one side, and still he went out upon the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, called all of the companions, approximately 70 Ashab al-Suffa that came. Each one of them drank to their full, yet the milk did not finish. At last, it was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, and Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that was left. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Oh Abu Huraira, now you drink." And then Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he drank the milk and still he did not finish. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank. This was, you know, the miracle and the mu'ajaz of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the same time, it shows how the companions were not greedy to just fill their stomachs. You know, they thought of each other. They thought that, you know, I also need to give this person, I also need to give that person. And it, I mean, 80 of them.
And one is hunger, one is starving.
Yes.
He was literally starving.
100%.
And for him to now pass the bowl of milk to everyone first and then drink at the end.
Yes.
Allahu.
I mean, you know, if nowadays, if that has to be a case, you know, within our society today, if that plate of food had to be passing around, our eyes will be praying on that, you know, we'll be putting so much nazar on that food. But here, the companions had a total different mindset, total different attitude, where they had this empathy in them. They wanted first that, you know what, you sort yourself out first, I will sort myself out later. This is, you know, what we learn and gain from the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes, so this is a little glimpse into the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of mankind after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah azza wa jal, we'll continue more exploring the lives of Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before that, let's inshallah azza wa jal listen to a melodious kalam in the praise of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we'll be back shortly. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu
ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahu ghafur, Allahu ghafur, Allahu rahim, Allahu rahim, Allahu yuhibbul muhsinin, huwa khaliquna, huwa raziquna, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadeer. Ya Rabbal Alameen, Allahu Allah, salli ala Taha al-Ameen, Allahu Allah, fi kulli waqtin wahin, Allahu Allah, hasbi Rabbi Jalla Allah, Allahu Allah, ma fi qalbi ghayru Allah, Allahu Allah, Nur Muhammad sallallahu, Allahu Allah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Allah, imla qalbi bil yaqeen, Allahu Allah, thabbitni ala hadha ad-deen, Allahu Allah, waghfir li wal muslimin, Allahu Allah, hasbi rabbi jalla Allah, Allahu Allah, ma fi qalbi ghayru Allah, Allahu Allah, Nur Muhammad sallallahu, Allahu Allah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Allah, wo tanha kaun hai, Allahu Allah, badshah wo kaun hai, Allahu Allah, meherban wo kaun hai, Allahu Allah, kya unchi shaan hai, Allahu Allah, sab dilon ki jaan hai, Allahu Allah, uski apni shaan hai, Allahu Allah,
حسبي ربي جل الله 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 ما في قلبي غير الله 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 نور محمد صلى الله 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 لا إله إلا الله الله الله
راز دل کے جانے وہ
الله الله
حال دی پہچانے وہ
الله الله
پھر بھی توبہ مانے وہ
الله الله
آسیوں کی آس ہے
الله الله
اس کی رحمت خاص ہے
الله الله
سب دلوں کے پاس ہے
اللہ اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ 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 ما فی قلبی غیر اللہ 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 نور محمد صلی اللہ 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 لا الہ الا اللہ اللہ اللہ
Allah the Almighty,
Allah, Allah,
protect me and guide me,
Allah, Allah,
through your love and mercy,
Allah, Allah, حسبي ربي جل الله 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 ما في قلبي غير الله 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 نور محمد صلى الله 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 لا إله إلا الله الله الله
Who is the all-capable
الله الله
Curer and the healer
Allah Allah
Who's the dominant all over
Allah Allah حسبي ربي جل الله 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 ما في قلبي غير الله 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 نور محمد صلى الله 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 لا إله إلا الله الله الله
أف أدر جناها
الله الله
عالم بادشاها
الله الله
يركلرن بناها
الله الله حسبي ربي جل الله 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 ما في قلبي غير الله 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 نور محمد صلى الله 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 لا إله إلا الله الله الله
اشهد الله دردمي بوغلر ما رحمة له Başla günahlarıma Hayraylayhım akşam ham sabahlarıma
Hasbi Rabbi Jallallah Allahu Allah Ma fi kalbi gayrullah Allahu Allah نور محمد صلى الله 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 لا إله إلا الله الله الله
رب المشرقين ورب المغربين فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان وہ دونوں مشرقوں کا رب ہے اور دونوں مغربوں کا رب ہے تو تم دونوں اپنے رب کی کون کون سی نعمتوں کو جھٹلاؤ گے Lord of the two easts and the two wests. So which of your Lord's favors will you deny?
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Subhanallah, a wonderful kalam in the praise of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The life of whose sahaba we are currently alhamdulillah discussing and mashallah. Even when it comes to the kalams in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the praises of Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his Ahlul Bayt, they are always there, such as the kalam of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, where he says, with regards to the picture that Maulana Sahib has brought about Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Ashab al-Suffa and the state of hunger, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quenching their thirst, and when he gave the bowl to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he drank from there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told him, all right, drink more. You are very hungry, very thirsty. You can have more. And he was full. He couldn't drink anymore. Subhanallah. So, referring to that, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he says, Kyo Janabe Abu Huraira? Kaisa tha wo jam-e-sheer? Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he captures that scenario so beautifully, and he says, Kyo Janabe Abu Huraira? Tha wo kaisa jam-e-sheer? Jisse sattar sahibon ka doodh se mur gaya. Subhanallah. So yes, all 70 sahaba, they drank from there, including Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And mashallah, as Mawlana Sahib mentioned, that there are so many sahaba, Sayyidi. And mashallah, there are many ranks among the sahaba. The most superior after the prophets and messengers is Siddiqi Akbar among the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To that, Sayyidi Allah says, وَعَلَىٰ أَفْضَلِ الْبَشَرِ بَعْدَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ بِالتَّحْقِيقِ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَيِّدِنَا أَبِي بَكْرٍ السِّدِّيقِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهُ. Now, and after that comes Sayyidina Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهُ, who is, subhanallah, the defining factor between truth and falsehood. And then it is Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala, the third Khalifa of Islam. Then Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Then the remaining Ashara Mubashara, the 10 Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were explicitly given the glad tiding of paradise during their lifetime. And then those Sahaba who fought at Badr, the 313 Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every Sahabi, as we have learned, they are destined for paradise.
Ulama Ikram, they've mentioned that if a person in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, embraced Iman upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then passed away, the person then performing his salah, the person then fast, the person, didn't give a charity, didn't do physical deed, even then he is considered a Jannati. This is because of seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
in the state of Iman.
In the state of Iman.
In the state of Iman. Look at the example of Sayyidina Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I mean, he got married.
Yeah.
And right then, the night of his wedding, he gets a call. Yes, we need to go on expedition. And he says, Labbaik. Subhanallah, leaving his bride, new bride, he just married and leaves. And he becomes a martyr, subhanallah. And he is also known as Ghasil al-Malaika. When he is in the battlefield and he is martyred, every sahaba's bodies were accounted for after their martyrdom. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then was informed by the sahaba that his body they couldn't find. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, the angels have taken his Mubarak body to give it ghusl. Subhanallah. So Ghasilul Malaika, the one who has been given ghusl by the Malaika, Sayyidina Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And many of us, alhamdulillah, the Muslim Ummah, we like to name our children after the name of this great Sahabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So yes, these are the examples of those Sahaba. And they are, of course, Jannati. They are even given ghusl by the Malaika, subhanallah. Sayyidi, when it comes to the ranks of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person asked, you know, there was a great scholar of Islam by the name of Peer Meher Ali Shah rahmatullahi ta'ala ali. Great scholar, subhanallah. And he had deep-rooted knowledge of the Holy Quran, the principles of interpreting the Holy Quran, the commentaries of the Holy Quran, subhanallah. And he was known for his expertise in the Quranic science. So somebody came and asked him, can you show me in the Quran where the names of Sahaba are there, the Khulafa Rashidin? Right, he says, okay, I'll show you. They mention of Khulafa Rashidin and Sahaba in the Holy Quran.
Right.
He said, read this verse. Muhammadur Rasulullah, the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. Are clear? وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ and those with him. Who was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam all his life? It was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And then he says, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ are stern with disbelievers. And who was the Sahabi Rasul who was stern with the disbelievers?
Sayyidina Umar,
radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah. No rocket science, right?
Their
temperament and their attributes are mentioned here. And then he says, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Who was the most kind, compassionate and tender among the Sahaba? And the translation of this part of the verse is, and tender-hearted among themselves. It was Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah. And then the ayat goes further. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا. You will see them bowing and falling in prostration. Subhanallah. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was known for his excessive ibadat. Yes. And his ruku is even mentioned in the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the ruku of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says, وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. That he is giving charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while in the state of ruku.
Subhanallah.
It so happened that somebody came to ask for something, and in salah you're not supposed to make much movement, you know, amal kathir, that will nullify the salah. So if somebody came and he was in need, so he asked for assistance, for help, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was in the state of ruku. He couldn't do much. I mean, he couldn't have gone to his house and gave him something breaking his salah. So he loosened his ring that he was wearing and it fell to the ground. The person who was asking for help, he got what he wanted.
Allah,
and it never broke the salah of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu at the same time. Subhanallah. So this was the famous ruku of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Look at how beautifully the Quran has, mashallah, summarized. And according to Peer Meherli Shah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that these are the Khulafa'i Rashidun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that are mentioned in the Holy Quran. The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you mentioned, that they were very loving among themselves. And they love and affection towards each other. It was well known. And so much so, why they were so loving and compassionate towards each other? Because simply, they were made brothers by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Muhajir, the Ansar brothers, subhanallah, their brotherhood was known. I mean, they were more loving and compassionate than some of the blood brothers, biological brothers can be at times, subhanallah. And this brotherhood wasn't biological. It wasn't based on the ethnicity. It wasn't based on them being from the same place because they were from different places.
Right.
So they had no other relationship besides the relationship of being the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take one Sahabi and he, from the Muhajirun, and one Sahabi from the Ansar, and he would make them brothers.
Subhanallah.
Bhai bhai Muhajiro Ansar, dil milana mere huzur ka. So alhamdulillah, these are the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was a glimpse into the lives of the Sahaba of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are, however, rights that they have upon us. Mu'asab has mentioned one right. There are other rights as well, inshallah, if you can please say they mention those rights that they have upon us. So together with it, learning from their lifestyle, we also know what is our obligation, what should be our relationship. How should we relate to the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Subhanallah, Mu'asab. You know, we've mentioned earlier on that the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have many rights upon us. And one right that we have mentioned was that the right of being honored, that we have to honor the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another right that they have over us is the right to being followed. That means that we have to follow the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with our eyes closed. We don't need to question anything, but we follow the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with our eyes closed. That's true. The third right that they have, the companions alayhim ridwan have over us, is the right that when they are being mentioned, they are mentioned with respect.
Subhanallah.
That when we say, we don't just say Abu Bakr, we say Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And here also, Mulan Sahib, it's important clarification is that when anyone is writing the names of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they shouldn't just put the abbreviation, you know, like in Arabic, some would just put the raw and bar, you know, as a short form. This is, you know, completely incorrect, completely wrong, and completely not allowed at all. Likewise, in English, they would just put RA, you know, to substantiate that. But that is also wrong. Rather, the full form should be written radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Or in English, if someone wants to write the transliteration, they can write that as well. Or if they want to write the English meaning of it, then they can write that as well, that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them. So in this way, we are showing our respect to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fourth right that the companions alayhim radwan have over us is the right to being loved. We love them wholeheartedly, and this is the a right that the companions alayhim ridwan have over us. So these are some of the rights that the blessed companions alayhim ridwan have over the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes, and we shouldn't regard anybody as being superior to the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, besides, of course, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the Sahaba of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at how they took the message of Islam and went far and wide towards the different borders of the world. Subhanallah. You look at the European side of the world, you look at the far east side of the world, that is Iraq and Iran and so on. Subhanallah. Mm-hmm. All these areas, subhanallah, they got the fragrance of Islam because the efforts of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then later on with the Tabi'een, Islam even grew further.
Yeah.
But this was spearheaded by the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Later on, Syria got conquered, and then we know the subhanallah Islam's dominance over many areas in Africa, such as Egypt, mashallah. And if we were to look at around the Middle East, subhanallah, it was all buzzing with the beautiful naras and the kalimas of Islam during the reign of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. When we look at his tenure as a Khalifa, subhanallah, which was over 10 years, Allahu Akbar, he really filled this world with justice that was brought and taught and inculcated by the beloved Mustafa
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So much so that he would say that even if an animal dies somewhere because of thirst, then I am afraid that I will be questioned about that animal in a remote area. Such was their concern for people's well-being, for people's prosperity, for the peace and safety, subhanallah. Anybody, it is mentioned about him that a family was there and they were coming to actually see him. And they were a pair, husband and wife. And the wife was pregnant and he was a poor person. He was coming to see Amir al-Mu'min. But by the time he got to Madina Sharif, it was already dark. So they camped there on the roadside. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to patrol on the streets. I mean, him being the Khalifatul Mu'mineen, subhanAllah, holding the highest position, he then used to patrol the street and see if anybody needed anything, anybody going hungry, anybody is sick and suffering, needs any attention. SubhanAllah, this was his duty. Allah, he made it his duty, part of his duty as being the Khalifa.
Yeah.
Allahu Akbar. Look at his concern for the people. And he was very approachable. So he found these people here. These two people, they were camping, and he came and asked, what happened? What's wrong? He said, oh, we are poor, we don't know what to do. we don't have anything to eat. My wife, she is pregnant, about to give birth, go into delivery. And I don't know how I'm going to manage all of this. He said, no problem, wait here. He went back to his house and he told his wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala availed such a beautiful opportunity to go and help someone. Would you be willing to do that? She said, I'm ever ready.
Subhanallah.
She was ready and they took the food items, everything, they went there. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala then started to cook the food outside on the fire, while his wife, she went in the tent to help her with the labor and the delivery of the baby. So by the time the food was cooked, the baby was delivered, subhanallah. And then the wife of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, she called from inside to say that, give your friend the glad tiding that subhanallah, baby boy has been born, mashallah. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he gave him the good news. And then when he heard the other person, that she referred to him as, O Amirul Mu'mineen, give him the glad tiding. So when he heard these words, he was shivering. He was very much confused and shocked to know that Amirul Mu'mineen is here and I'm making him do all of this. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala told him, don't worry about it. These were the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their concern for the Ummah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which should inspire us at the same time to go and help people. You know, these were the traits of the Sahaba. Look at the example of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There was a Jewish man, he had a well, and it was the time of drought. There was water is scarce, right? Water is very scarce in Arabia, especially in the regions of Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara, Hijaz, and the surrounding regions. So, at that time, there was only one well that people would go to. And it belonged to a Jewish man. He started charging people money, which became unaffordable for people. So, Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala went to him and he told him, all right, maybe you could give me as a time sharing. The well, you could hand it over to me with time sharing and I'll pay you the price for it. And then when the time share came into play, then when it was the time of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, would go and fill their buckets and everything, and their water skins and so on. And he wouldn't charge people anything. But when it came to his time share, then people wouldn't come there because who would want to pay for something if you can get it for free? So he started losing it. He said, you know, you'd rather buy the well. It's fine because it's not yielding any profit for me anyway.
Right.
So he sold it to him, to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And then after it was sold to him and he paid a very high price, then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala made the water accessible for free for all. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And he dedicated it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at, mashallah, the efforts of the Sahaba, how they would take care of the well-being of people. And we look at the example of Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and how they would do charity and look for the well-being of people. And when his mother passed away, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would it be nice if I can have a well dedicated to my mother and people drink from there and she can benefit? He said, yes, subhanallah. And this well was named the well of Ummi Sa'd, mother of Sa'd, subhanallah. So these are some of the examples. I mean, they are the history, the Islamic history is filled with countless examples of the noble actions and the deeds of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which should inspire us as the Ummah and the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba. Inshallah, azawajal, we will continue with some more beautiful subject of discussions in the upcoming episodes. Until then, keep reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and keep watching Madani channel. Jazakullah Sayyidi.
Ameen.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu alaihi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.